Just pray. Lord, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful to us, Lord. Lord, time wouldn't be enough for us to express, Lord, all that we think of you. But thank you, Lord, that one day when you return, Lord, in glory, we'll have all the time we'll ever need, Lord, to speak our love for you and to know your love for us, Lord, in fullest measure. Lord, that's an inexpressible thing, Lord. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But we thank you for today, and we thank you for the joy of today, the joy of knowing Jesus, and the joy of being together to worship him and learning of you, Lord, as we sit at your feet. Thank you so much, Lord, for being here. And I just pray now you take your word and speak it deep into our hearts, Lord, and build us up in our faith and help us, Lord, to see more of your glory, more of your love, more of your greatness, Lord, as we look together in your word. In your precious name I ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, today is, as we know, is Advent Sunday. So oddly enough, I'm going to speak about Advent. All right. The subtitle there, which you can't read from the back, sorry, says the coming of the King. Hallelujah. It's all about the King. And this morning we've been hearing about the King. Ping. Okay. If you have a Bible with you, Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to start. And then go around different places in the Word of God. Wonderful Word of God. I'm trying. Maybe you could do it, Andrew. Okay. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, and I'll just read a few verses from the beginning. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. This next bit in the New King James is really odd. But anyway, I'll read it. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. I love Wesley's version of that much better. Okay, for this is with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Thanks, Ian. Yeah, great, thank you. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's great to know where we live. It's great to know. The first picture here is, the pointer's not there, but we are somewhere in there, okay? I wanted to write over it, but I couldn't do the technical bit. You are here. Right. You are here. Advent means the coming. Advent is the Latin word for the Greek parousia, which means the appearance or coming of a royal personage. It was used of any royalty in those days. Coming of a royal personage, and also the coming of the owner, who is the only person who can sort out the situation. Think of that in the world we live in. The owner is coming, who is the only person who can sort out the situation. Paul said, "Glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to deliver us from this present evil age." And the Lord came from heaven to save you and me. Somewhere in that mass of the Milky Way, which has 300 billion stars. Somebody must have counted them. And there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe. And the Word of God tells us that they are all upheld by the Word of His power. That is the Word of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who came to earth, God manifest in the flesh. Okay, and here, this is the word of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. What a wonderful statement that is, isn't it? Wonderful statement. I am the Lord who stretches out the heavens all alone. All those billions of stars out there. This is from one of the latest pictures from the James Webb telescope, which is, you know, the newest telescope in the up there above the earth, taking pictures way back into space, and according to the theory of relativity, way back in time as well. Well, you know, of course, that what scientists expected was to find bits of this and clouds of that at the furthest point back that the telescope can see. And, of course, they found perfectly formed galaxies, as you would expect if the Bible is true, that God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth by the word of His power. And then the Word was made flesh and came to dwell amongst us. Hallelujah. I'm the Lord who makes all things. But thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who has come for us, the one who's come to rescue us. He came on a rescue mission, and He who formed you from the womb. What a personal word that is. Isn't it great to know that me, with my life and my little world, my little cosmos here, of all my thoughts and wishes, desires, ambitions, experiences, emotions, all the things, body, soul and spirit, the way that God has made me, He is the one who knew me from the womb and loved me and cared for me there and brought me to birth so that I could hear His gospel. Jesus. Okay, so here we are. Jesus came from heaven, and He came as a son. If you just flick back, if you want to flick back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, God has said to Ahaz the king through Isaiah, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Well, he made a mistake there, because God had said, ask me a sign. Ask me a sign. If you want to know I'm there, ask me. Don't just take somebody else's word for it that says there is no God. You ask me. If you want to know God, you ask me, and I will give you a sign. And so Isaiah then said, God himself will give you a sign. Verse 14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, one of the amazing things about this passage of scripture, apart from the fact that God said a woman who would be a virgin would actually bear a child, and it would be a male child, and his name would be God with us, this promise was given in the midst of a war. The armies of Assyria were at the gates of Jerusalem and basically wanted to wipe out the Jewish nation. And that's happened periodically through history. And we know that there is a war happening right now in the Middle East, even as we're meeting here. But Jesus came to end all wars. Jesus came to end all wars. Where does war come from? War comes from the heart of man, because basically man is at war with God, at war with himself, and at war with one another. And there are things in man which desire to have preeminence. There are things in man that desire to have what he wants. There are things in man that desire to live his life without God's interference. And that is the completely wrong basis on which to live our life. And God knew that, and so he sent his son, who would come in human flesh through a pure woman, and he would give his holy life for you and for me, that we might be made pure, that we might be made holy, that we might become sons and daughters of the living God by a miracle of regeneration. That means God coming into you and me by the Holy Spirit and making us completely new people inside. Hallelujah. In the part where only God can see and only God can reach and only God can satisfy. Jesus came for that purpose. He came for us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. God is for you. Dear one, God is for you. He's not against you. And hallelujah. This promise was given in the middle of a war. God came and Jesus came in the middle of a war. The war of Satan against the human race and the human race with Satan against God. And Jesus came into the midst of that battle, and he came in an advent, the first advent, God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. As the Apostle John said, who lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. Imagine that, living with Jesus for 3.5 years. I've lived with him for 50 years and I still don't know him as I want to know him or as I should know him. But he's wonderful to me today, and I thank God I can say that, and I can stand here and say, Jesus, you are wonderful to me. So Isaiah, okay, 750 years before Jesus was born into this world, said God will come through a woman who is a virgin, and he will be born as a male child. Okay, secondly, that's the way he would come. Chapter 9, verse 1 that I read there, the place where he would grow up and work for about 20 years as a carpenter, builder, probably jack of all trades, harvest time, he'd be in the harvest. He'd make yokes for oxen, he'd make cartwheels, he'd make all sorts. And I bet he made them good as well. And here we are, Galilee of the Gentiles. This is where the great light would come, in the land of the shadow of death. We've lived in places in the world where you could say that of the land. We lived, when we first went to Thailand, 20 miles away, was a land of the shadow of death called Cambodia. And the great light of God came into Cambodia through a national catastrophe called the Khmer Rouge. And things happened in Cambodia. You can read about it. There are books about it that you can read. The land of the shadow of death, Khmer Rouge dressed in black. And they made the whole population dress in black. It was the land of the shadow of death. Quarter of the population died in 3 years. That's 2 million people. We don't know what Galilee of the Gentiles was like, but it was a land under oppression because the Romans were there. And we know the Romans were brutal. We know that they took anything they wanted, did anything they wanted. That was an evil generation. And God says of the world, every generation is an evil generation. But Jesus came to redeem for himself a people of his own possession who he would call by name. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. You are mine. I have called you by name. You are mine. You know that wonderful word in Isaiah, it's before, chapter 43, I think. The Lord doesn't just say, which I always thought, I've graven your name on the palm of my hands. The Lord says, I've graven you on the palm of my hands. You, with all your being, all that you are, today, I've engraven you. Jesus has engraven you on the palms of his blessed hands. Wonderful Lord. One of the great old Puritans said this. How great to know that all the concerns of my life are in the hands of the one
who bears the scars. Jesus is graven you on the palm of his hand. So we told the place of his work and ministry. In Micah, we're told the place of his actual birth. Let's go there. Oh yeah, but you, Bethlehem Ephrata, even though you are little among the thousands of Judah, from you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. That's Jesus. And that was spoken 650 years before his birth, the exact place where he would be born. And the only way that he could be born there was if God arranged the world situation so that the Romans were ruling the world, and their head man, Caesar Augustus, wanted to have a census to know how many people he was ruling over. And so the head of every family had to return to their place of birth. And Joseph, as stepfather in place, if you like, a kind of stepfather to Jesus, had to return to the place of his birth. And that was Bethlehem. God arranges things. His wonderful power is at work always. And that same power is at work for you and me in our lives to make us the kind of people he wants us to be and to help us with our everyday situations that we have to live through. Praise his wonderful name. You might have had a foul week. You might have had a great week. Whatever kind of week you've had, God has been with you in it. God has been with you in it, or else you wouldn't be here today. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Those are the shepherd's fields. You know, God came for ordinary people. He shall preach, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, to preach the gospel to the poor. And there were none poorer than the shepherds. The religious people of their day called them dogs. Wouldn't even eat with them. But God came and gave his message. Glory to God in the highest. They saw the heavenly choir, which was even better than the one some of us heard last night in Heswell, singing praises to God. Hallelujah. And said, look, the Savior of the world is born. Come, come and see. Come and believe. Come and trust. And Jesus is saying the same thing today. The angels didn't quite use those words, but anyway, that's what they were saying. Come, come to the Lord Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. You know, when God comes into the world, he looks for little seeds. And I just want to show you one picture from the trip to Thailand that we had. Some of you will have seen this in the luncheon club. And excuse me, family. But the lady in the middle is the one I want to focus on. The lady with the white hair. Her name is Yai, which means granny. Gua. And she came to Jesus in a shack in the back of beyond, which had no real road to it, on a day that was an ordinary day like any other. It was hot. It was really hot in that part of the world, northeastern Thailand. And she was just in a shack with a few of her relatives. She'd come for a visit. And we had the chance, a Thai brother worker, had the chance just to share Jesus with them. And at the end, we gave an appeal. If anybody wants to receive Jesus now, come forward. She was, at that time, she was probably in her 40s. And she ran across the floor on her knees to receive Jesus. That was the response. That's what Jesus, that's all Jesus wants. Run to him. Come running to Jesus. And she came. So, and she was illiterate. She couldn't read or write, but she believed in Jesus. And Jesus came into her life. And she went home. She and her husband were drunkards. They fought each other with hand and fist. And her character immediately changed. She stopped drinking. And when her husband saw the change in her, he stopped drinking too. The children were against them believing, because this was the foreigner's religion. Well, that's what the Thais say, who don't know Jesus. It's a foreigner, but it isn't, because this religion came from the Middle East. It didn't come from the West. It came from the Middle East. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the land of Israel. And anyway, after a while, the children believed in Jesus. And one of the daughters is married to a guy, and she and her husband now lead a church in that village. When this couple believed, the headman said, "Pack up your pack up your house and get out of the village." Well, you can do that with a Thai house. You just pull it to bits and load it on a wagon, and then you take it somewhere else. Very easy. Yeah. Well, he didn't carry out his threat. Years later, he said to the rest of the village, he said, "You look at this couple. You follow the way that they are living. They are an example to all of us." Hallelujah. So, a seed fell into her heart. And she believed in Jesus, the only one in her village, the only one in her family. 40 years later, there's a church of 60 meeting in the village. Hallelujah. This is the way God works. The Son came into the world. His first advent was a hidden advent. He came as a seed that fell into the ground and died. But the seed produced an abundant harvest. And if you're a believer in Jesus today, then you are part of his abundant harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. But his advent made the way for another advent. His advent made a way for the advent of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. There was no way that you and I could come before a holy God. You know, because we are an evil generation. Evil. The book of Hebrews talks about an evil heart of unbelief. This is where we all start out, isn't it? With that evil heart of unbelief. And, you know, maybe the first, second, third, fourth, I don't know, 50th time we heard about God, we wanted to say, "Oh, no, don't give me any of that. Don't believe any of that stuff." And that's the evil heart of unbelief that lies as a cloud over all humanity. And Jesus came to take that cloud away. Glory to his wonderful name. He came just to take it all away so that we don't have to live under a cloud of oppression. We don't have to live under darkness. We don't have to live under anything that weighs us down. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, weighed down, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, being meek isn't weak. Being meek means you have strength, but you hold it in reserve. You have power that's available for your use, but you choose not to use it. And Jesus could have destroyed his enemies any time by a word, but he chose not to use it. Instead, he allowed his enemies to do with him as they wanted to do within the limits that God allowed. So, but because Jesus died, the Holy Spirit could come to you and me. I want to go to Galatians chapter 4. And just read a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 4 of what can happen because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" Abba, Daddy. It's a word you can hear in many tribes of the world. Among the Kvet in Cambodia, Abba is the word for Daddy. Jesus wants to give us his Spirit to come into our hearts and make us his children. And it's the only way that we can have peace with God. It's the only way that we can know God, is by being born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And only Jesus can do that for us. Only Jesus can forgive our sins. Only Jesus made a way for all humanity to come to God through him. Do you have that witness in your heart this morning? Is there something in your heart that says, "God, Father, Father, you are my Father. I love you.
I love Jesus. I love your Holy Spirit. Thank you for making me your child. That's all it is, really. That's all that God wants, is just that cry to be in our hearts, Abba, Father. And he will come. When we believe in Jesus, he will come with that wonderful embrace of love that hugs us to himself. And we know that God loves us. We know inside that God loves us, and that he's dealt with our past on the cross of Calvary, that he set us free from everything that has ever held us bondage, so that we could live as free children of God, sons and daughters of the living God, loving him, following him, worshipping him, doing things that delight his heart. You know, there's that lovely picture Chan gave us of the kids running down the hill and not falling on the concrete. Thankfully, it just reminded me, when we were in Thailand, we had a place that was in the market. It was called a shop house, and where people there was a whole line of these things, and people sold stuff in their shops. You didn't have a window. There were just metal gates that that were closed at night to keep the place safe. But it opened onto the street, and anybody could just walk off the street and come in and listen to the word of God. And, all sorts of things could happen in that place. There's a lovely old man, but he was a raging drunkard. And he rolled in one day and came up to the front talking to me, so I rolled him out the back. Gently, of course. But one place, there was an upstairs as well, and the steps are made of concrete. So our girls were with us, and my middle daughter Helen was very little, and I said to her, just go up those steps, darling, and stand there. And she went up the steps, and everybody was watching. And then I said, okay, darling, now just jump to daddy. The steps were concrete, the floor was concrete. I said, just jump to daddy. She jumped. She jumped because she trusted me. Now maybe you're afraid to jump into the Father's arms, but he won't let you fall. He won't let you fall. Come unto me, all you. Jesus said, I won't ever let you go. I won't ever let you fall. I've loved you from the moment you were conceived in the womb of your mother, and I will take care of you for all eternity. Just trust me. Just come. Oh, sorry. I want to tell you about that. We couldn't. This is the dividing wall. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll try and finish quickly now. This is how Jesus did it. It was of no cost to us. It was of no cost to us. But it was a great cost to him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Hallelujah. That's an example. That's an actual stone from the temple in Jerusalem that reads, no foreigner is allowed past this point on penalty of death. There were 13 gates for Jewish people to go through, but no foreigners. If you are non-Jewish this morning, you would have had no right to have entered the temple of God there in Jerusalem. And there were many foreigners in Jerusalem, we read on the day of Pentecost, when God the Holy Spirit was poured out on his people. And the Holy Spirit was always in the world, but on that day he descended in a personal way into the hearts of the men and women who trusted him. And they found him faithful. And the Holy Spirit has been in the world since that day of Pentecost, and he's here today, and he will descend into your heart and my heart if we only ask him. Ask me, ask of me, and I shall give thee. Says the Lord, ask me, ask the Father, and the Father will give you the Holy Spirit. If you come as a simple, humble
weary, sin-weary soul. You may be sick of sin. You may be weary of it. You may just feel, oh, I don't want this life anymore. I want a new life. And Jesus can give you that life. Hallelujah. And he renews us daily in that life by the power of his Holy Spirit. Christ demolished the barrier between us and God by his own flesh, by giving himself in our place on the cross, so that the light of God could shine in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He came down into darkness. Remember, the world was in total darkness before Jesus came. But when Jesus came, the light of the world came, and he continues to shine in the hearts of all who put their trust in him. Praise his wonderful name, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. This is what God is after. 2 Corinthians says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself by the cross. Why the cross? Because there was no other way. Man's innate goodness is limited to a small parcel, and there's a great lump of sin that surrounds that parcel. Even the best people in the world, they still have an innate heredity of sin that comes from Adam, because we're all born into Adam, and Jesus Christ came to make us born into himself, into a new heredity, into a new kind of living, into a life of fellowship with Jesus that goes on day after day. And even when the things are hard and tough and dark, you can still trust him. There was a wonderful comment from Corrie ten Boom in the Alpha Course, where she says, when you're on a train, if the train goes into a tunnel, you don't tear up your ticket and look for a way out. You sit there and you trust the driver. Praise God. Christ, one last verse, Christ paid our debt in full. There was a debt that we all owe, and that is to God's law. There was no way that we could pay it, and Jesus saw that. So he came and paid our debt for us. It's in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And it's verse 14 says this, that Christ wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Wonderful. Every debt of ours paid in full on the cross of Calvary. All our debts to God's broken law. All our debts to the times when we've coveted, when we've lusted, when we've stolen, when we've cheated, when we've lied, when we put other things in place of God in our life. All those Jesus paid in full on the cross of Calvary. Glory to his wonderful name. So what does God say to us now? Therefore, having been justified by faith, if we put our trust in God, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He gives the gift of peace. He gives rest to the weary souls, and he gives renewing in the Holy Spirit to all who ask him. Ah, let's just ask him. Let's just open our hearts to him and thank him. Yeah, let's pray.